It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to be with all of you. I have not stood before you since I came back from Korea to minister, and I'm honored today to have the opportunity. So let's pray today. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your love for your people, Lord. Surround us today. Surround us, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love, your compassion, your wisdom, your knowledge. Open up our ears, open up the eyes of our heart to see you. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that what I share today about the Korean trip will bless hearts, Lord, and draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I was going to give a Korean update of my trip to Korea. This is my sixth trip to minister in a network of churches and to teach a seminar for the Bible college students as well as other people that join in the evening services for Christian International in Seoul, Korea. And I enjoy teaching through the network of churches, and I was excited to be invited back to different places. It's a network of Presbyterian churches. And so I'm preaching to Presbyterians, hallelujah, when I go to Korea. But a lot of people are Presbyterian in Korea because that's the main religion that is over their denomination. And every church is just a little bit different. But the places I've been invited into, they believe, just like we do, they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they worship God, and they raise their hands, and they're a joyful group of people, as well as they all want a prophetic word. And so it was good to take Prophetess Vernella and Prophetess Ina Carr with me, because they ministered to the crowd, and then usually I would go with the main minister and minister to his leadership team and his family and those that he chose to bring into the office, or she chose to bring in. And so it's constant work. I can't even explain it. I probably did 3 months worth of work in Korea in 12 days that I would be doing here in America. So really, I did come home very tired, and I appreciate our elders that covered while I was gone and who taught when I got back. And it just gave me a chance to gather my thoughts. It's always very exciting to be in another nation where people are hungry for God. They are so hungry for God. And they are students, and they want to learn. So we've got some pictures today. The title of the conference that I taught was God's Glorious Kingdom. And so we are going to look at some pictures from Korea, if you'll just bear with me. They kind of tell our story. Here we are at O'Hara. Pastor Leonard took us up, and we flew Korean Air. Has anyone here ever flown Korean Air? Oh, they're an excellent airline, and they take really good care of you. Okay, next. And this is after we landed in Korea as we're driving towards Seoul. It's beautiful landscape. Okay. And if you look ahead, you can see the traffic. The traffic is unbelievable. It took us, normally it takes us about an hour to get from the airport to downtown Seoul. It took us 2 hours that day. Apostle Nora didn't know why there was so much traffic, but there was lots. Next. This is one of the first churches that I ministered at. This is Pastor Ko's church. Next. And this is the pastor. Next. And this is us sitting in the refreshment room. And that's Apostle Nora on the right. I'm still trying to get her to come when she's in the States and greet you and minister to you. And she always says, my English isn't good enough. And so the Koreans have a very high value on the English language and using it appropriately. And so she doesn't think she speaks English well enough to talk to you. But I told her, they will love you. You will be fine. Next. This is Pastor Holyfield. And he was my interpreter. He's been my interpreter several times. But for the network of churches, he was at every service. And I love having him interpret, because when I start preaching, he starts preaching in Korean. And I always tease him. I'm saying, you're adding to that to make it even better, aren't you? Because I have no idea what he's saying. But whatever it is, he's a great communicator. Next. And this is Pastor Coe's congregation. This was Friday night. This was the Friday night crowd. And there was other sections you can't see. Next. Next. And this was interesting. This is their family room. And it sits right at the back at the auditorium, and it has glass in it. It's soundproof, so the families feel like they're in church taking care of their children. And just very hungry and eager to hear what God is saying. And it just reminded me, because in the church that we grew up in, we always had a nursery right with the glass windows where people could see. Actually, it was in the balcony, and people could see out and actually be a part of what was going on. So next. This is more of their congregation. Next. Oh, and this was the flowers. These are real flowers, the flower arrangement, which I thought was so neat. Most of you know I love sunflowers. And so if God greets me with a sunflower in a church, you know, in another nation, I'm just like, oh, God, you're just so into the details, you know. It just was like, Lord, you knew I was coming, and you put my sunflowers up. Okay, next. And then the next church I went to, this is Pastor Kim, and we ministered at her church, and this is my third time there. She's been at every conference that I've taught in Korea, and she brings a large group of people. She has several students from her church in college at Apostle Nora's. So she took us to dinner. They always take us to a great dinner of very strange food. Amen, Richard. Richard was stationed there. Okay, next. This is the three of us. Next. This is the lady cooking. There's little grills at your tables where they cook your meat right there. And so they cut it up. After they cook it, they'll cut it up into bite size. Next. And this is just some of the dishes that are set in front of us, which, you know, you can see by looking. Lots of vegetables, lots of seafood. This is raw fish right down here in the left corner. Raw fish. And it really is pretty good. You know, I don't know what they soak it in, but it really is pretty good. Next. And this is Pastor Holyfield. This is the reception area at Pastor Kim's church. Next. And this is the group that served us. They all wanted to have a picture with us. So this is the group that served us. Next. And these are a couple young girls that kind of stuck with me. And the one in the middle reminds me of my Brianna Bell. Her personality is real outgoing, so she was my granddaughter while I was in Korea, and she was at all of my meetings, so it was fun. Every time we met up, she wanted me to do a selfie of us, okay? Next. And this is a puppy that, while I was in Korea working really hard, I'm like, okay, it's time to get another Rottweiler. And we just, I was looking online at different pictures and breeders, etc. And then I was messaging Vanessa, who was busy calling all these breeders and getting all the details about these puppies. So this was just kind of, she's like, you need to quit thinking about puppies. I said, no, this is just a break from all of the ministry and teaching I'm doing. It's like, I love dogs. And so, yeah, this is a puppy picture I sent her. So this is just kind of like my journey. Okay, this is what was going on. Hallelujah. Next. This is a family from Pastor Kim's church. Lots of young people with babies that come to church. Next. Okay, now this is driving into another city to minister at Pastor Coe's church. Next. And just some signs. Next. And this is the reason I took this picture is I knew for those that are in construction and build, this would be really interesting. All of these buildings are being built at the same time, and they're all at the same stages, which they must have massive construction crews to be able to pull this off. Next. But you can see all of these buildings and the big cranes that are up to them. I think we counted 10 or 11 of them all going up at the same time. Next. Oh, this is pizza in Korea. If Vanessa was here, she could help me explain. Pizza in Korea is very different. Richard, did you eat pizza in Korea? No, you didn't have any pizza in Korea. It's very different. They put lots of vegetables on it. I think that has potatoes and little pieces of ham. And then the sauce isn't like pizza sauce like we use. That's not what they use. They use something else. And it's not real cheesy like we like cheese on ours. Anybody like cheese on their pizza? Oh, yeah. It's like, where's the cheese? But, yeah, that was Pastor Holyfield got that for us. I think there's some little pieces of fish on there and just all kinds of interesting things. I stayed away from that pizza. Okay, next. But this one was really pretty good. And this one had, do you see that around the edges? That's sweet potatoes. And so rather than putting spaghetti or tomato sauce on it, they put this sweet potato sauce on it. And it's sweet potatoes all around that edge. And then there were vegetables on there. You can see that. But really, that one was pretty tasty. The other one kind of scared me. Well, our host, when Vanessa was with me, our host had a pizza delivered to our apartments, and Vanessa and I were all excited because we're like, oh, great, a pizza, and we open it up, and we're like, what is this? We were just a little disappointed, but we were hungry enough to eat. Yeah. Next. And this is the second night I was at Pastor Coe's church, his praise team. Next. And they have a girl drummer. Next. And this is Pastor Holyfield and I. Next. And this is at Apostle Nora's. So we have transitioned through the network of churches, and we are at back at Apostle Nora's. And I didn't have all the pictures because most of the time I'm ministering. And so Ina and Vernella took pictures, but they haven't gotten them to me. So here we are at Apostle Nora's, and you probably recognize this. Her administrator does this huge floral arrangement. That's all real flowers, Leslie. I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, next. This is our host that took us out to dinner one evening, and I don't remember her name, but she was a lovely lady. Next. And this is some of the dishes that were on the table. Yeah. Now, this that's sitting right in front of me, that was my bowl. And that is full of different kinds of vegetables. And then you take rice and you add rice to that. And then they bring bowls of soup. And most of it's pretty spicy hot. You can add some broth to it. And they have this red sauce that you squeeze on top, which is pretty tasty. I brought home a bottle. You wouldn't want to confuse it for ketchup because it's not ketchup. But anyway, I said, you know, what's in this? And they said mostly mountain vegetables, which are delicacies, which they absolutely love, which you have to add a lot of stuff to it because honestly, I mean, they're good, but it tastes like you're eating earth. Did you ever eat dirt when you were kids? It's just earthy tasting. It's all kind of earthy tasting. But But you do get steak along with that. And you see the lettuce leaves there. You take that lettuce leaf and you wrap your steak in it and add some things to it. And next. And this is just all of the little dishes that they bring that you can add to your salad. Next. Can you imagine? There's squid in there. That's pretty chewy. There's kimchi right behind my big bowl in the center there. That's kimchi. That's at every meal. It's fermented cabbage, and it's very good for your digestive system. So they always want you to eat kimchi. And Vanessa loves it. And she actually, I brought her back some spices from Korea that they use to make the kimchi because she likes to make her own. You have to really like spicy, sour cabbage to like that. So next. Pass, right? Oh, this is just another thing. Someone posted this online, and I thought, oh, yeah. For those of you that are tired of Korea pictures, I'd rather attend church with messed up people seeking after God than religious people who think they're his enforcers. Amen? Oh, next. And this is Pastor Charles, and he was my interpreter, I think, the first 2 days. And we did a morning, afternoon, evening service. And he was my interpreter each time. And he's a pastor. He has a church there in Korea. Great guy. Next. This is Apostle Nora's office. This is her new furniture. Beautiful. Next. And I'm praying for Apostle Nora here. Next. Oh, yeah. Jeff Augenbaugh posted this online. Kids asked me, were you guys ever online in the 60s? I reply, as a matter of fact, we were. So really, you know what? We've been online our whole life. So these young people have nothing over us, right? But I thank God for the internet, because as I was there, it's like you can correspond with people, you can find out what's going on back home, and you can send out prayer requests. And, you know, the internet is a blessing. I'm a little concerned if it really is true that it's going to be handed over to NATO in October. Wasn't that the set date that we're giving it away? And so that's a little alarming that we would be doing that, because you don't know what's going to happen after that. But I think that is the scheduled plan. So next. This is Apostle Daniel and Apostle Nora. And he is a multimillionaire, probably billionaire. He has several companies around the world. And he always comes to our conference. And he's just a real blessing. I mean, so many times he has sent his driver to pick us up and to take us to dinner. And I mean, he lives just in a whole different world than what I live in. You know, that we live in. Hallelujah. But he's such a humble, humble man. And he is the one that took off work and canceled all of his meetings a few years ago when Prophetess Vanessa went with me, and she had that dream regarding the killing of people down at the river. And she had no clue that that actually had happened hundreds of years ago. And when Apostle Daniel heard the dream, he said, I'm going with you and stand in the gap to repent for the sins of my nation. And it just so happened at the conference, there were three women who were related to the dynasty that gave the orders for this to happen to Christians. And there were several hundred that their heads were cut off at the river. And it was not far from where we were staying. And so they have a high, high respect for Prophetess Vanessa. They really love her in Korea, because they are were so thankful that God revealed that they had the opportunity to repent for the sins that had taken place and to cleanse their land. So it's amazing how God uses us and uses our gifts to continue to draw people closer to him and build his kingdom. So Daniel always shows up next. This is dessert that he brought. I really didn't want to eat it, but, you know, you have to. And it never tastes like you think it's going to. That just seems to be the way it is in Korea with Korean food. Richard's shaking his head, yes. It just never seems to taste the way you think it's going to, but it was delicious. Next. And this is my granddaughter again, following me around. Next. And this Pastor Charles. Next. I feel so strengthened when I recognize that in any situation, if I'm walking in the will of God, God's favor is on me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. When we're walking in the will of God, God's favor's on us, and he opens up the door for us, and his favor prepares a way for us. It's amazing when you serve God what he will do for you. Next. And this is Pastor Philip, and he interpreted for me several times in the past, and he has been sick. He didn't say what was wrong with him, but he's lost lots of weight. And he wanted to come and interpret for me at least one time, but that's all the strength he had was to do one service. So let's lift him up right now. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you know what's going on in Philip's body. And Lord, we just thank you, God, that you're the great physician. You are the healer. And River of Life agrees and decrees today that by your stripes, he is healed. And every disease is canceled from his body. And every assignment from the enemy against him is canceled. And we release strength and health to his body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when you think of it, pray for Philip. Pray for him. He's a mighty man of God. Next. This is the microwave control. And when we were there, Vanessa's like, it would really help if they would put instructions, because there's little washers and dryers and all kinds of appliances in there, but they're all in Korea. You know, it's like, I guessed, you know. The 10 is 10 seconds, and the 1 is a minute. And the big one down here, to the bottom right, that starts it, okay? And then the one right next to it on the bottom left, that cancels it. So it's kind of like back home, but it's they did, after Vanessa and I were there, their administrators made instructions for everything in the house. But it's just interesting that that's Korea. Next. And this is the four of us in Apostle Nora's office. Next. And Apostle Nora bought jewelry for all of us. And she included Vanessa. She brought this piece for Vanessa. So it was so sweet of her. Next. And there you can see Vernella and Ina and I each have on the jewelry she bought us. And we brought Vanessa's home to her. And the gal standing next to me is Suke, and Suke is, she came home for the summer. She normally lives in England with her daughter, who is studying to be a medical doctor. And in the years past, she has helped take care of us and host us for meals and just a very gracious person. She's ordained under CI, but she was home for the summer. And actually, the weekend after I left, she was leaving to go back to England. But she came, and her daughter ended up coming, and so did her husband. Her husband's a dentist in a city not too far from Seoul. But they're just a wonderful family that loves God. And so I was so excited to see her, because she was not there last year. But she was there this year. Next. And this is my interpreter, Esther, and she was very, very sweet. Next. And this is Apostle Nora's daughter, Grace. And Grace is married to an American, and she has lived in the United States for years. And God put it in her heart last year that she was to go help her sister in ministry in Korea. And so her husband gave her permission to go. And so she's been at Apostle Nora's for about 3 months, and she was just a delight to meet. Don't they look alike? Next. And this is the four of us. Next. And this is Susan, and she takes care of our apartment. She makes sure I have ice cream in the refrigerator, and I have Coke Zero, and and grapefruits. She knows everything that I love. It's interesting, over the years, she's always taken care of me, so she's, when I get there, everything that I like to eat and snack on is right there. Next. And this family, the mom and the dad, are going to be CI professors. And they are almost finished with their doctorates. And they both have doctorate degrees in secular culture, and they work careers, but they have been studying and applying themselves. And when I first met them, their daughter was about this tall. So she's growing up, and they are almost done, and they'll be teaching soon. Next. These are their black grapes. The black grapes. Go back. They're huge. They're about this big around. And they're seedless. And they are so good. You just can't even imagine how tasty they are. Makes my mouth water to look at them. Next. I hated to leave them, but I had to. These are the orchids in the airport. Beautiful orchids. Beautiful airport. Next. This is flying into Tacoma, Washington, actually. Next. Next. Do you see the airplane? Yeah, on the, I don't know if they have, I don't think they have these on domestic flights, but on international flights, a lot of times they'll have these little screens in front of you where you can watch movies and all kinds of things. But a Korean Air has cameras. So you can look to see what's in front of you and what's below you. Well, most of the time it's just sky. But I turned it on as we were going in for landing. I just thought, well, that's pretty cool. You can see our shadow heading into the Tacoma Airport. Next. And this was the sunset at the Tacoma Airport. Most of you know that we were delayed. We got there and we were delayed, I think 5 or 6 hours, 7 hours. It was a long time we were delayed. But it was amazing the ministry opportunities that God gave us. There was a woman there from Chicago, and she started talking to Prophetess Vernella, and pretty soon Prophetess Vernella says, well, you need to talk to Dr. Cook. She's a counselor. So we sit down, had a counseling session in the airport, and prayed for her and ministered to her. And then there was a young man not sitting too far away, and he started talking to me, telling me that he's getting ready to travel because his dad, they just found out that he had heart trouble, and he's in the hospital, and they're going to do surgery. They're not sure what they're going to do, and he's so stressed out, playing Pokemon, right? But really stressed out about his dad. But Pokemon was his sidetrack to get his mind off of his dad, I think. But anyway, while he was not talking Pokemon to everybody else that was sitting around us, he was talking to me about his dad and his condition. And so I had an opportunity to pray with him. And he was a little nervous about that. He was just a little nervous, but we prayed anyway, and he seemed to receive it for his dad. And there were just lots of opportunities that God kept bringing people. And, you know, they sit down and they just start to pour their heart out. Well, there's a purpose for that, right? And so we took advantage of every one of those opportunities. And God did that all along our trip. We're standing in line waiting for customs, and we're praying for people and talking to people. And it was just ministry from beginning to end. Next. So had we not had that delay, we wouldn't have had all those opportunities. And the Tacoma Airport's gorgeous. Has anyone ever been there? Seattle, Washington? Tacoma, Washington? Airport is gorgeous. This is just some of the inside. It's like a big mall. Next. Next. And this is coming into Chicago. Leonard picked us up. And I've never been in Chicago when it looked like that. Have you? Where the clouds have just come down on the buildings? Yeah? Yeah, that shows you how much I go to Chicago. But you see the building up there? I'm like, wow, that is awesome. Just peeking out of the clouds. Next. This is the puppy we went to buy the day I got back from Korea. I had been traveling for like 35, 36 hours. I laid down, took a little nap, and off we went. And Seraphim. This is Seraphim. Next. This is the grandkids with Seraphim. She likes to bite their legs. Next. Javen and Zion with Seraphim. Next. And there she is in the grass. Is there one more? Yeah, there she is, Jay. She's lifting weights. Yeah. So when I got back from Korea, I used my offering money to buy a Rottweiler. So God provides, right? So she's a little blessing. She's been enjoyable and hard to handle. Has anyone owned Rotties? Rottweilers? Yeah, we've got some right there. So you know what I'm talking about. They can turn into Rambo in a minute. So, yeah, but she's learning. She's learning. Pardon? She born again? Yeah. Well, we pray for her a lot. And Cindy Grantier, she house sets for us when we're gone. And before I bought her, I said, Cindy, is it okay with you if we get another dog? Because she already watches our three little ones. Now, this is dog number 4, and she's going to be big. But Cindy said, oh, yeah, that's great. So the first time she's watching her, they had a little bit of disagreement. And so Cindy had to teach her to respect her, and then she prayed and prophesied over her. So she's like, I prayed and prophesied over your dog. I said, well, that's good. She needs all the prayer she can get. So anyway, it was a great trip. And very different from Kenya. Kenya was a lot of miracles, signs, wonders, demonic deliverance, and all of that. And we were evangelizing. Well, in Korea, my trip is to build the church and to encourage the church and equip the saints. And so it's totally different flavors of what we're doing. And so the testimonies I got back was how suddenly they had peace of mind or clarity of mind and anxiety gone, depression gone. God's presence was so strong in each meeting, and he met with each person and supplied the need that they needed. And financial provisions came in while we were there. Lots of amazing testimonies while we were there. But I know the anointing on my life is to release God's peace. In the midst of a storm, God is there and helping people be able to see Jesus in their critical situation. Because we all have them. We all have them. But this is a part of God's glorious kingdom. And this was our key verse that I'm going to share with you this morning. Psalm 145, 10 through 12. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. So all of God's works praise him. All of them praise him. In Psalm 96, 11 to 12, it says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. So with the heavens rejoicing and the earth being glad, that word in the Hebrew means to spin violently with emotion. So even as the earth turns on its axles, it is praising God. And we don't often think about the earth having emotions, but we know that the earth is crying out and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is crying out for its redeemer, because the earth also came under a curse when Adam and Eve sinned. It cursed the earth. And so the earth is crying out, and at the same time it is rejoicing and praising God, because it knows, the earth knows, that God is its creator, and that's the only redemption we're going to have, is when it comes from God's hand. Amen? It spends and it rejoices to the Lord. The Lord, Jehovah. It's the Jewish national name for God. There's no God like Jehovah. Amen? Okay, so the saints have a responsibility in God's glorious kingdom. And God doesn't ask much of us. Really doesn't. He just asks us to be careful what we're saying, right? We're to bless God. When we bless God, in the Hebrew, the word is barak. It means to kneel as an act of adoration, to thank, to praise, to salute. We salute the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I'm praying, I often think, you know, I salute the captain of the army of hosts. Amen. The army of hosts that God has assigned to us here in the earth. We bless God. When God is in the rightful place in your life and in your thought life, things will begin to happen and change. Amen. Amen. We've got to get God in the right place. We've got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto us. And so, Lord, help us to bless you and give you the rightful place in our lives every day. And we're to speak. We have to talk about it. We're not supposed to stay silent about the great things that God has done for us. And we boast about the kingdom of God. And that's what I did in Korea. Just shared about God's glorious kingdom and what the scripture says about God's kingdom and how we are citizens of that kingdom. And we are rightful heirs of the benefits of that kingdom. And so the people love God. And it was great to watch them just absorb and realize their place and their position in God's kingdom. It's more, a lot of students come from different churches, and it's not all about one church, it's about the body of Christ that's worldwide. And it's great to be with a body in another place, learning their customs and their expectations, and all of that is a challenge. In Korea, it is one race, and they will tell you that. We are a nation of one race. And they are proud of that. That they said, we are not like America, where it's a melting pot of many nations. No, we are one nation. And they have a hierarchical order. And so elders are always served first and respected as elders. And so when you're ministering, you minister to the elders first. The older people of the group receive the ministry first. That's the order that is set in their culture. And the children are last. And often in America, we put children first. And there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. It's just different. It's different. And so I was instructed, I cannot spend more time with someone younger if I'm not going to spend that same amount of time with someone older. Because that goes against the culture. And that's their tradition. And so when we are away from here, we must honor their tradition. We might not understand that. And it's taken a while for me to train people that go with me that this is the order. And yes, God might have more for this person than you think he does for this person, but we have to stay in order. And if we stay in order under authority, God will honor that. Amen. And God will make up that difference. Amen. You know, it's not our responsibility to challenge authority and be rebellious to authority because we think God has one more thing to say and we want to spend more time. Does that make sense? And so you have to bring yourself into order if you want the Spirit of God to really flow. And God does it. God does it. We're not responsible for all of it, right? The Holy Spirit is the one who does the work. We simply do our part. And so it's interesting when you're working with different cultures, the traditions that they have that you learn, sometimes you, the barrier's there and nobody told you. Have you ever experienced that? It's like, oh, that is a no-no, but nobody told me it was a no-no. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then it's like, there wasn't any reason that you would have done that purposely. It's just what we do in America, but it's not what you do in Korea. And it's interesting too, when you watch the children interact with adults, if they're going to hand an adult something, they always look them right in the eye and they hand it with two hands. They don't just go like this and hand it, you know. No, it's very respectful. They'll look them right in the eye. They do this with two hands. Just interesting little things like that I've observed as I've been there. But one thing that they agree on is even though they are one race, they are part of the heavenly race. And so we are joined together because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in the same kingdom where God rules, where God has set up his domain, where Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They agree with that. And we have to realize that the kingdom of God is huge. We're supposed to, as the saints, point number four, to talk about God's power. His power is his force. It's his valor, his victory, his mighty works, his power, his strength. We're supposed to talk about that. We're not supposed to be quiet about that, but to share that with other people and take the opportunities that we have to let them know what God's done for you. We're to make God's mighty acts, make them known. We tell people about what the Lord has done for us, number five. And we tell other people about the splendor of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to find righteousness, peace, or joy anyplace else. Because this, the joy that God gives us, the world cannot give us. The righteousness that God gives to us, we cannot earn. We cannot do enough right things to earn that righteousness. Otherwise, we get stuck in works, trying to work it to be good enough for God. And we don't have to do that. So we tell other people about the splendor of God's kingdom. And just to summarize it, all of the works, all of creation praises God. The saints are to bless God. The saints speak of the glory and the kingdom of God. The saints talk about the power of God. The saints make known to other people about God's mighty acts, what God has done for you. And the saints tell other people about the glorious majesty of God's kingdom. And how do we do that? We do that by setting our heart and our mind on things above. Colossians 3, 1-3. Would you read it with me? Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So when we come to Jesus Christ, our life dies and our new life is in Jesus Christ. We know that the battle is in our minds. Is that right? It's in our minds and it's in our heart. Otherwise, we wouldn't be instructed by the scripture to set our hearts and set our minds on God. We have to make a conscious decision that we're going to do that. And sometimes we have to choose that several times during the day because our minds start to wander. To set me is like you're fishing. You set the fishing hook in the fish. And Jay and Leonard's been doing a lot of fishing, and we've been doing a lot of eating of that those good fish. And so they've been setting the hook on lots of fish. How many have you guys caught? About 100? Yeah, they're really good. I just eat the benefit. They want to know, are they bluegills? Some bass, right? Yeah. Yeah, Leonard has his famous batter that he makes up that he fries his fish in. If you want the recipe, I'm sure he'd give it to you. But when we set our mind and our heart on God, it's like setting the fishing hook. When they set that hook, they pull that fish up out of the water and that fish is caught, right? It's not going anywhere but into the frying pan. And so God is saying, with that finality, we want to set our mind on Him. And you got to talk to your mind, because your mind will start to wander. I say it's like a wild child that runs all over the place. You've got to pull it back in. And now I can say it's like a wild seraphim that takes off all over the place. And I have to reel her back in. But our minds will do the same thing. They'll just begin to wander. And worry. And the dialogue that goes through our head. Because what we think about is what we become. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The issues of life are right here in our hearts. And then Proverbs, right before that, it tells us how to do that. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keeping the word of God in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We become what we think about. Whatever we're thinking about, that is how our feelings and emotions begin to form from our belief system. If you believe somebody doesn't like you or someone is upset with you, then you'll develop these feelings and emotions against them. And so we have to guard our heart and set our minds on what God tells us to set them on. And he tells us in Philippians that it's whatever things are true and lovely and of a good report. He tells us what to think about. If we're thinking about other things, we need to pull it back. And if there's a conflict in our life we need to deal with, then deal with it. Don't let it brew. Amen? Every day we have conflicts. They're just opportunities. Conflicts are opportunities for you to grow and for you to deal with the situation. And a lot of times when you begin to deal with it, you find out you're the one that was in the wrong, although you think the other person was wrong. Is that right? I found that out more than once. I was totally thinking the wrong thing because we assume something. We assume it. And then we have the wrong assumption. So God wants us to set our mind on things above. That gives us peace with God and peace with one another. And then the last thing is, we are in a covenant relationship. This is not a casual dating relationship that we have with God. God wants us to look at this, the seriousness of the relationship that we're in. It is a committed relationship. I'm committed. Through hell and high water, I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to sway from that. Although we have lots of opportunities. Anybody have an opportunity this week? Yes. And I think about, what are we going to do if they come for us and say, are you a Christian? Are we going to say yes? Are we going to deny Christ to save our own skin? You know, we've got to make that commitment now. I'm committed. There are Christians being beheaded. There are Christians being martyred. And Christians are being silenced here. So are we being persecuted? Yes, we are, not to the point of death. The Apostle Paul said, you haven't shed any blood yet. He did. We haven't. But let's get prepared. Let's get committed. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's like, if God delivers me, great. If he doesn't, that's great too. You know, my life is God's. What do we have without God? I encourage you today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receive him today. Receive him today. And if you need to make a new commitment, recommit your life to the Lord. Then recommit. Let's all stand today. We are going to close in prayer and be released today. It is a holiday weekend, and I know you all want to celebrate, right? All of you labor so hard. We have lots of laborers here. We're all laborers in God's kingdom, but we are, a lot of you go to jobs, right? Yeah, so this is a weekend to celebrate those who labor. So, Father, we thank you for laborers that are in your working for you in your vineyard, and for laborers that are doing jobs in other places, God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in their life, for strengthening them, God. We thank you for provision for them. We thank you for the jobs that you've given us, Lord. And we pray for our bosses, our employers, God. We pray, God, that you bless them and you'll bless the business, because as you bless them, we become blessed. And we're the head and we're not the tail. And Lord, those that are looking for jobs, we thank you for job opportunities opening up for them. We thank you, God, that you are the one that supplies our needs. And you know what we have need of. We need housing. We need food. We need clothes, God. You know what we need. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you hear our cry today. And you bless those that labor among you. And wherever this group of people goes, we decree and declare they are the blessed of the Lord. And take the kingdom of God with you. And remember to bless God and to share how good he is. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us words to share that meet the need of the person we're talking to. In Jesus' name, amen.